Okay, I'm going to ask you, when you come to the podium, if you would try to speak into the microphone so that folks can hear you. If you're having difficulty hearing in the back, you might like to move to the front. There's a few seats available here. I'm going to say maybe 8 or 10, probably 8 or 10 on this side as well. So feel free to move in the, move up. This is not church. You don't have to sit in the back. So, okay.
How are you?
Okay.
So, good afternoon. My name is Michael Wolf.
There we go.
I live at 11913 Hazlett Road, Lewis, in the Governor's Development. As president of the Governor's Condominium Association, I'm here with other governor's residents. I think most of the room is filled with them, to speak to you about the Jack Lingo Asset Management, JLAM, application to amend the conditions of the approval for the village's cottage development. Before I start, I have to respond to, I thought it was odd that the only thing I didn't hear from Mr. Hutt in his presentation were the words health, welfare, and safety, key elements of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. I heard words like density, and it's troubling. Additionally, I just want to talk about the gentleman that just spoke about the gate. What we're talking about in the context of this discussion is a siren-activated gate arm, okay? It's a it's initiated by sirens. It's fail-safe open electric, and it's breakaway in the event. So there would be no reason not to do it. It's done in other communities, and it's done in Sussex County.
Can I just, for clarification, does that mean that the only people that would get through it would be EMS with the siren?
The answer could be absolutely, and I'm going to talk about that as we go forward. That's what we originally proposed. People are using the word gate, and they're thinking swing gate. That was never what we were looking to do. So I just wanted to clear that from the get-go. And we have people in our community who are life safety firemen as well, EMS, people that drive on the trucks right in Lewis, people that worked for the state troopers. And we went through all that so that we came up with something that we knew would work. And they reached out. They reached out to the troopers in Delaware. We reached out to the fire department. So we've been through that drill. So I just wanted to clarify that. Less than a year ago, the Sussex County Council voted 4-1 in favor of this gate arm that I just spoke of. The gate doesn't violate any rules, no laws, statutes, doesn't place a significant burden on the developer. Rather, it's intended to protect the children, grandchildren, and adult residents in our neighborhoods. The planning and zoning staff analysis dated 11/4/24 and posted in the record, fails to consider the safety of adjacent communities, in particular the governor's community. In their amendment request, JLAM cites two reasons for requesting elimination of the gate. First, JLAM argues that providing hard access to governor's residence would place a burden on the Village Center Cottages Property Owners Association and property manager. And such a burden could easily be mitigated either by modifying the shared services agreement between the two communities that's already in place for pond and open space management, or by enabling the governor's property management company to manage the gate resident system for control. Secondly,
can I ask a question about that? Because the logic of that escapes me a little bit. Because you talk about safety, and I get that, I suppose. But had this been one development, right? And so instead of 400 units in yours and 300 in the other, say it was 700, and that was a boulevard through the entire development, would you still be asking for a gate across that street that's now a subdivision gate?
I'm going to ask that you listen. I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to ask that you listen to everyone that's here to speak today, because the answer would be yes, because right now what you're proposing runs right past our clubhouse and all our amenities, where the children are bringing scooters, and in the summertime, kids are walking across the street. It wasn't planned properly. So if that is if the decision was to have interconnectivity in the way you're describing it, I mean, I would suggest to you that interconnectivity could be a fire road, right? It doesn't have to be. I see you smiling because we all know this is.
It strikes me that we're not really talking about health and safety. That's my...
Yeah, and that wasn't the intent. It was just, yeah. When we said we wanted interconnectivity, it was for public access.
Yeah.
So I get asked you, as I'm talking, think about your kids and your grandkids as we're going through this presentation.
Oh, I understand that, but it just seems like what you're saying would apply to any subdivision anywhere in Sussex County. I mean, how is that any different than, like, I think of Kings Creek with a boulevard that runs into the middle of it to their clubhouse?
Councilor, respectfully, I'm going to ask you to stand.
I mean, I could argue
I want you to go ahead and give your presentation.
Sure.
Allow your people to give your presentation. Commissioners, feel free to take notes if you have questions and so on. But let's afford them the same courtesy that we do the applicant. Let them have their time and their say. Mainly because I don't want to be here until midnight.
That's
so,
a fair point. I apologize for everybody because I don't want to be here until midnight either. So
okay.
Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Secondly, JLAM claims that the installation of the gate goes against the spirit of interconnectivity as originally intended by the Kings Highway and Gills Neck Master Plan. We maintain that interconnectivity must never take priority over safety. Moreover, no street connection was required for the Hawkside community, for example. Ironically, everyone keeps bringing up Kim Howie Stevenson. That's the community she lives in. That was also another JLAM project along Gills Neck Road, clearly demonstrating that in JLAM's view, the master plan, vehicular interconnectivity is an option, but not a requirement. The master plan sets forth design principles and strategies and advocates designs that are sensitive in their context. It does not mandate interconnectivity. Excessive traffic along Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road will continue to worsen with the influx of hundreds of new homes and associated vehicles. Shifting traffic through residential neighborhoods fails to provide the kind of comprehensive solution needed that prioritizes safety of residents and promotes alternate forms of transportation, including walking and cycling. It's planning and zoning and county's council's responsibility first and foremost to provide for the safety and welfare of the county residents under the law and within the framework of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. We have many residents here today. These residents are concerned for the safety of their families. They will explain why eliminating the gate requirement is a terrible idea, including new information you may not have heard. JLAM indicates in their amendment requests that they don't understand how to implement the card access requirement in their approval. We have professionals in our community who can work with JLAM to design the gate card access system. Alternatively, we'd consider removing the card access requirement as long as JLAM agrees to install an emergency siren activated breakaway gate arm with a camera so we can monitor it. We would also agree to oversee the management and maintenance of that gate arm. JLAM notes in their amendment submission request that interconnectivity is important and necessary for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. Safer for whom? In this instance, without a gate, that's just not true. The central location where our clubhouse, pool, children's playground, and sports courts were located by JLAM when they developed Governors makes through traffic extremely hazardous for pedestrians. Our community has written over 120 letters and submitted a petition with over 375 signatures explaining why eliminating the gate requirement would be dangerous to our residents. Today, we are simply asking that you vote to keep our families, children, grandchildren, adults, and guests safe. Thank you.
I have a question for you. Sidewalks, both sides of the road in your community?
We do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chairman, commissioners, thank you. My name is Rick Hansen. I live on Collins Road and I overlook Stockley Boulevard. And for a bit more disclosure, I was president of the HOA during the initial transfer of Governors from JLAM over to Governors. Got a few slides I want to go through and kind of talk about some issues further. So first off, you changed my front slide. It said Governor's Gate, just because it seems to be kind of like Watergate these days. Overview, what I'm going to talk about is the gate's critical for the safety of Governor's residents. Mick addressed that already. JLAM's opposition, gate management, he addressed that as well. Doesn't need to be a fob, doesn't need to be a card, can be a little decal on your car, fairly common type thing. So that objection, in my opinion, is not a meritable objection. And then the master plan, I'm going to talk about how that's changed numerous times for that development corridor. Interconnectivity, to me, it's an ideology, makes great sense, but it doesn't always take into consideration the well-being of the people that it impacts, because it's usually an add-on later on. Vehicle versus pedestrian and bikes, emergency access, that's been addressed. We've spoken to the right people, and there are other areas that gates and barriers of entry are there as long as it can allow access. What's the real reason for governors to be connected to the Village Center? There's already two entrances. Senators has two entrances. Hawkeye only has one entrance. And Kings Highway, it's a traffic disaster that everybody knows about, and all it's going to do, what's going to happen is when Stokely Boulevard opens up, it's going to be an incumbent cut through. I don't know if, I'm sure you've been by the high school, Clay's Neck Road to Gill's Neck. When the ferry's out, everybody's going to do a cut through because it's a perfect boulevard, two lanes each way. Not so much coming up Gill's Neck Road, turning left onto Stokely, but when you hit that traffic circle on Clay, you're just going to zip on through. And you might ask, well, five traffic circles are going to solve the traffic problem. That all is great until one person hits the crosswalk button down by the high school, which during school hours is going to be continuous. So as we heard, so this is a picture of the crosswalk by the circle, fairly common occurrence. Kids all day long on weekends, they're walking with big pink flamingos going to the pool. There's three or four of these around the circle. There's multiple ones up and down. This is what we're concerned about, is this crossing. There are recently have been added some street signs. I'll talk about that more, but most of the street signs that have been put in this neighborhood, in addition to what was originally put in, were added by the governor's HOA to increase the safety. Talk a little bit about that more in the morning, in a moment. And I think what you need to understand is the history. We originally asked JLAM during the development to not open the connection except for bicycles, pedestrian, emergency vehicles. They refused. They said it's in the master plan. We keep hearing this morning or this afternoon about the master plan. Plans change. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they need to be modified. Sometimes they need to be tweaked. Sometimes they're changed just to fit the circumstances of what's going on. We then asked JLAM for an emergency gate only. They refused. Okay, governors asked P&Z to support an emergency only gate. Refused. Okay, governors asked JLAM for a monument sign and traffic calming features to be added to the entrance. They've added those. I have emails between myself as president of the board and Nick Hammonds with the design layout that is actually there, because when we were asking for a gate, we told him we were going to ask for a gate. He says, you're not going to get a gate. He said, you have to do something to protect the kids. Here's what we need. So it's nice that you did the final picture. It's much nicer than mine. But that was an idea of governors presented to JLAM, not the opposite way. We then asked Cecil County, our elected officials, to support an emergency-only gate. They approved with the amendments that you have seen. Now, we have an upheaval in there, which kind of shows you how the community and the residents of Sussex County feel about how things were going. I think you're going to see more and more people asking for more and more restrictions on development and how it looks. So the JLAM opposition here, management of the gates of burden to the center, I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but there are options to resolve the issue. JLAM states it's consistent with the master plan for the area. The plan calls for interconnectivity of centers, governors, and village center. Senators doesn't want connectivity. They're aware of what we've been doing. They've asked for, they wanted a gate. I think spoke to Mr. Whitehouse about it at times. It was refused. Hawkeye didn't want a gate to be connected to senators. I have a picture of that in a second. Governors doesn't want to be connected to village center. So who wants this? Who is going to actually drive through there? If nobody here wants it, we have petitions, we have this. So it's going to be people that don't live in the communities that want this cut through. It's not the residents of the village center. They're going to have two exits. It's not senators. They have two exits. So who is this that wants this connectivity? Not me, because I'm going to look at it every day long when the traffic starts backing up. Why should one developer be allowed to keep a plan that endangers the safety and quality of life of residents in a development they no longer control? I hear about this master plan by the original owner. They don't own Hawkeye anymore. They don't own senators anymore. They don't own governors anymore. We own governors. It's a condominium association. So I also see opportunistic implementation. Henlopen's Bluffs, I'm not sure if it's who exactly it is, but Nick Hammond signed the application, which to me is the same as JLAM. So they've been working with the city of Lewis to try to deal with the connection between that new development and the show field, which is behind it. Lo and behold, it's okay to have a multimodal, non-vehicular connection between the two developments being proposed by the developer. Is that because they can possibly fit in more houses? I can't understand why they would be supportive of that unless there is some financial thing attached to it. And when discussed, if you read down further, when questioned by the council, Mr. Whitehouse confirmed that this exists throughout Sussex County. A grass strip, multimodal connectivity, it is acceptable to do, it's in use, and as Nick pointed out, there's no laws, there's no regulations. So why is it so important that we have this connection? I will continue to ask that question until we get the answer. The master plan update. Gill's Neck Village Center facts. Okay, everybody should read this. The goal of Gill's Neck Village Center component to reduce the use of cars and promote a green, healthy lifestyle for the residents of Gill's Neck Road. This is on Jay Townsend's website for Gill's Neck Road. They have changed it a number of times. They've also promised in earlier reports that they would work to get a YMCA or a cultural center put in. Where is all of that? Nowhere. What are they going to do with the rest of the land? Probably put in a shopping center, whatever it is. So the plan has changed numerous, numerous times. And I see there was a picture there that was taken off. I'm not sure. Did somebody modify my slides?
This is the file, the electronic file that was submitted to us.
So. Okay. All right. Well, there was a picture of the Hawk's Eye to Senator's connection that never went through. So somewhere along the way, there was designed to be a connection. It shows the pavement going in, and then it shows grass that nobody's taking care of because it's not being watered. So somehow somebody was able to get that connection from going through. All right. I'm missing some slides here. Okay, so I also would ask the impact of the gate. Is it a traffic study, DLDOT traffic study issue? So I went to Anna Maria Fermato trying to find out, does this gate impact the traffic counts for anything going on around the area? She says, it's not finalized, don't know. I don't have a time estimate. So I guess the question would be is how can we actually be talking about this if we don't know if it impacts the traffic studies? I know there's a traffic study done, but does the gate impact that at all? I mean, the information I got back from DLDOT said they didn't have any information on. So the questions that I have is why is this gate so important to the developer? Residents don't want it. The developer's own websites promotes foot traffic, doesn't mention cars. The word interconnectivity can mean bikes, people, or cars. It doesn't have to be one, and it's not defined. The comprehensive plan talks about traffic calming features, talks about interconnectivity. But the only reason that I can see this connectivity is there is, in my opinion, is to get people off of Kings Highway cutting through over to Gill's Neck Road, not make my life any easier as a resident to get over to Kings Highway faster. Because if I'm going into Lewis, I go the other way because Kings Highway is such a nightmare. I have no problems going out to Gill's Neck Road and making a nice left turn on Kings Highway, and then I can either go straight or right. So it doesn't make sense. It's okay with the county to keep it multimodal. It's proven. The developer prefers a non-vehicle connection. Never mind, I said that one already. Interconnectivity looks good on paper, but doesn't take into account the practice impact on local residents. Therefore, why keep it open at all? And I'd ask Jay Land to rescind their request for motion because, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't stand up. Now, I'd like to address some of Mr. Hutt's concerns because I was one of those people that wasn't bright enough or maybe bright enough to read through all of my closing documents, which, as he pointed out, is a stack that high. You might miss a few things. But just so let's start with the brochure. There's this picture in the brochure. We've all seen it.
You're speaking to us.
Which version of the brochure? But let me read the back page. All information is subject to change without notice. Renderings are an artist's conception and are for illustrative purposes only. So as I'm buying my house, I'm looking at this brochure. And on one page, it shows the connection going one way. On another page, it shows it's slightly different. But to me, it looks like a road to nowhere. So if you're using this document to say that I should have known what was going on, I would make the argument that this is only an artist's representation. And I know that it was used in the case of a homeowner who bought a home next to the pickleball courts and said there should be two courts there, not four. Well, there's four. The response we got back from our developer was, it's just an artist's representation, subject to change without notice. So this isn't a good document. In the documents, closing documents, private streets. Streets are designated on the condominium community shall be private streets and shall be maintained by the condominium association, yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to go in this because the other gentleman's going to cover it. But it says they're private streets. Now, to me, private, the word means exclusive use. My yard is private for exclusive use. Now, somewhere in there, some lawyer is going to say, yeah, but there's right of way. Well, that wasn't in my closing documents that said right of way. My view is nobody really told me what was going on with these streets. And working closely with Nick Hammonds and Jay Lamb, the ideas for the Village Center changed several times just while we were working with them. What's going on over there? What's going to go in over there? Don't know yet. Well, there's going to be houses. It's a lot of maybes, ifs, ands, and whats. And I don't know about you guys, but when you buy a house from a sales guy, you never quite know what you're getting. Also, what else did I want to cover here? There's a couple other things. So there shall be in this street design thing, this you referenced, there shall be connectivity with the adjoining properties. No mention of cars. I go on the Gill's next site. It says we're supportive of people just walking through the neighborhoods. It doesn't mention cars. See what else I got here, or I might be able to step down now. All kinds of stuff on the Gill's Neck website about the great things that they are going to do. So in closing, I would just say, I think, and I use a few good men kind of analogy here, is in the end, the two soldiers don't get convicted for the murder that they were ordered to commit. They get dishonorably discharged for following a bad order. And I'd like you to take that into consideration when you think about our kids, think about all of this stuff. Plans can change. They do change. I just heard that the comprehensive plan isn't quite turned into a law yet. So you have an opportunity to help us make the right decision here. And maybe we just need to sit down with Nick Hammonds at JLAM and have a conversation how we make this thing work. Thank you.
Just to clarify, I think what you meant to say was master plan. Comprehensive plan is most definitely law.
Okay.
Yeah, it's most definitely been passed and it's in place and we use it.
But it uses the word interconnectivity vaguely.
I understand. I'm just clarifying that.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
That it was.
I'm not a lawyer.
It's the master
plan. I'm retired. It's been a long time since I did a PowerPoint presentation, so I appreciate
you. No problem. I appreciate the effort you put into it. Before you go, does anyone have a question for this gentleman, specifically for this gentleman? Are you good? Everybody? All right, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Who's next?
Hi, my name is Lee Thompson. I am a resident of Governor's Community since 2020. I'm just going to go back once. Can I go to same presentation, if you don't mind? Just need one slide. It was the second to last slide that was on the screen, if you don't mind. That one, yep. just point of reference, I wore a shirt today. I work for Advantech. So regarding security and integration with access control gates, I probably forgot more information than most about what that is. So if you have any questions about what, from an expert, I can explain any of those things you want to know about a gate and a gate operator and how access control would work or any questions you may have. But just speaking from it from a dad in the development that has two kids that go to Cape and Lopin High School, and the security concerns that I have and safety, I know that people are chuckling on this. I've seen that. I'm just kind of watching from a sales perspective, people's
excuse
faces.
Me, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman has the floor. Sir, if you're going to have a conversation, have it out in the lobby. This gentleman has the floor.
Thank
go
you.
Ahead.
So just from a parent perspective, having a freshman in high school and a sophomore in high school, I just wanted to point out a few things where my concern may be longevity at this route, okay? So just to point your attention to the screen, this is our main road, as you know. It goes out, is Governor's Boulevard. It goes out to Gill's Neck, right? And we take this left here, and we go over here to this intersection that goes to the high school. Currently today, and I promise I'll bring it to a point, currently today, the line of cars that line up this road here for Kings Highway go all the way back to about Cricket Hammock every morning from about 7 to 8, without a doubt. And some days require a traffic police officer to come outside and direct traffic, okay? That is every day when school gets in and every day when school gets let out, all right? So in addition to that, you also have folks that live in the town of Lewis that come down Kings Highway and are trying to make a right, okay? And then I, driving some of my kids sometimes to school, will witness this coming down this road. There are folks that are aggravated. They know they're going to sit in this light for 8 or 9 more cycles before they can get their kids to school. Or I might have a young driver that's 16 or 17 or 18 because I'm at a high school where I just got my learner's permit and I'm driving myself to school, okay? So in addition to that, I have folks on this road getting aggravated. They don't want to wait in this line anymore, so they drive the shoulder, which they're not allowed to, all the way down the Gill's Neck, and then we have this long median in Gill's Neck that doesn't allow you to turn around right away. So you come about 75% of the way down to our road and do a U-turn, and they'll come back, and now they're 1 or 2 cycles away from getting through the light, okay? So that's happening today. In addition, they'll also go over to this medical center, and they'll park temporarily, let their kids out, and let the kids come over here and walk across the crosswalk to get to the school, okay? That's happening today. And why I say that's important, if I can...
I'd like you to get there, because
I'm coming.
We're well aware of all the traffic issues.
I'm sorry.
We're
so this is where I'm at,
this,
okay? I understand. It's coming right now. So if that all exists today, all right, everybody in this room would agree, if you can avoid a light or a situation that's a hectic area, you're going to avoid it. So as soon as Clay Road is connected, that comes into Stokely into our development, all those folks are no longer going to ride down and go to Gill's Neck. They're going to come right through our development, because they're going to ride by our townhouses, and they're going to go right through our main entrances to get out. So me, I go to work every day. If I have to leave at 7:15 to get to my appointment, and I have a traffic jam in my own development down the boulevard, it doesn't matter if I have sidewalks on both sides, I can't leave. I can't get out, let alone the kids that have to walk from whatever houses that are in the back part of our development that want to walk or ride their bike safely to school. I don't have that luxury, nor do I now have a worry as a parent of how my kids are going to safely get to school. And I think that this is, I know plans change. I know you guys spent a lot of time on a master plan, but all these roundabouts that are going in, the way you're changing the way that, none of these other developments had interconnectivity to a major highway. That is a major highway on Kings Highway. If I'm connected to Senators next door, fantastic, great. I can go see a neighbor a little bit faster. But I guarantee if Senators was the development we're in that's going to connect to a major highway, this is why you said you knew this was going to be a big stinking point today, right? You said you knew because this is the last light that connects us to a major highway. That is a problem. And I guarantee you if all of you were lived in our development and had the same safety concerns that we do, you'd be standing right where I am right now asking me same pointed questions to planning and zoning. Thank you.
Can I ask just because it's helpful
questions?
You work for Advantech. Just on a technical side, so how, because this isn't the first time we've had to deal with gates. The county, I don't know, 15 years ago litigated and won in a situation where gates were installed in the middle of the development. And we dealt with it at Schofield. And one of the questions was, how's the gate operated? So if the residents have key fobs or a code or whatever, right, that's great. And then I guess if it's activated somehow for EMS, that's great. But what about visitors, or what about, because this has come up before, you know, the Amazon truck or the pizza guy or DoorDash or, you know, because GPS is still going to show that as a road.
Hush.
So it's hush. How does that work with today's technology?
So first of all, there's two entrances into our development, so you can get around that if you're a commercial vehicle, right? Okay. Secondly, if you're an access control system, then you could access, we have access control in our clubhouse, to our pools or whatever, right? Okay. And I understand and I recognize that we're not the only development that would need access to that. But you just need one main software that allows you to connect all the fobs or credential, I call them a credential or a fob, okay, that connects that. So I just load it all in and say, hey, they don't have access to our clubhouse, but they have access to this, technically a door, okay? Or you
get
away.
Same thing, whether it's
same
a door
thing,
gate.
Same yeah, thing. Right. But you can get rid of all of that and just say, hey, I have a barrier arm that has an SOS signal. So if an emergency vehicle drives through, a police officer or a fire, it doesn't have to be a siren, it could be the right lights that flash it. As they're approaching, that gate is available to them to go through before they even get there.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is because it came up one time before, and I don't know if it was when Mr. Burton was on or the commissioner someplace, but the point was made that, you know, like if you are all those things, Amazon, DoorDash, friends, you know, whomever that doesn't have access, the question was, does that create more traffic because they come in and then they have to make a U-turn and go out, whether, you know, if they didn't have a gate, they could just go straight, you know, and not clog everything else up on that road or the surrounding road. I just was wondering if that is...
No, I understand. I would say for me, I burn myself one time, I don't burn myself again on a stove, right? If I come down that road one time and see a gate there, I'm probably not going to go down that gate ever again, right? It's not even a convenient factor. I haven't seen any study about the roadways, but this is a nice way to say, hey, we're going to get a lot of traffic off of King's Highway, but at whose expense? My kid, someone else's kid in development. Again, sidewalks are great, but traffic is going to be piled up. That line of road that was on King's Highway that goes back to Crooked Hammock is now in my development. And I didn't buy that house to live in a development on a main highway. No one did. And that needs to be considered. I know plans need to change. I'm just saying that's going to happen. It's not even if, it's a matter of when. As soon as you open that up, that will absolutely happen. So I can tell you, me and anybody else sitting in the chair would look at there and go, man, that's a cluster that I'm going to have to run through. How do I get around that? And if I have a B plan to get around it, 100% of the time, I'm going to the B plan. And tell me I'm crazy.
I won't tell you that you're crazy because I would definitely do the same thing.
Any other questions?
Thanks, I appreciate that, because you're with the technological background, that's not something I've heard before, so I appreciate that.
It's still afternoon, so good afternoon.
You can pull that forward to you.
One thing I want to say before I begin.
The first thing you need to say is your name.
I'll give you that first. I'm Howard Berger. I live on Collins Road in Governors.
Great, thank you.
And the thing I'd like to say at the beginning is 13.2.4. That's a section of the county plan that I didn't hear Mr. Hutt mention. That 13.2.4 talks about the disadvantages of interconnectivity. It points out that interconnectivity can create dangers from through traffic and says that the plan should see that roads are designed so as to eliminate any problems from interconnectivity. We're not here to talk about to say no interconnectivity, at least I'm not. I want to see interconnectivity done safely as the plan in 13.2.4 requires. I'm here speaking as a government resident. I'm an attorney. So there's going to be some legal things. I'm also a former land use planner who worked for a planning commission, and I'm fond of leading public plans. My wife and I live in Governors. Our children and grandchildren visit regularly, and we're concerned about what this conditional use would do, that it would reduce our safety. It's especially pertinent that we're having this conversation now when DelDOT has just released a report about the increasing number of traffic deaths, of pedestrian deaths in Delaware, many of which it attributes to poorly designed roads. The commission, as you all know, its job is to advise the county council on plans and taking the county plan into account in doing so. So let's see what the county plan says. The most recent plan, the 2008 plan, notes that there are advantages of interconnectivity, but it notes significant disadvantages too in that section 13.2.4, which is entitled safety. The plan says that connector roads must be planned and designed to reduce adverse effects of through traffic. In my phrasing, the plan says that there's safe interconnectivity and dangerous interconnectivity. We want to see that there's safe interconnectivity. Before my wife and I, we heard talk before about reliance and various plans from the developer, what I should have known. What I read was the county plan, and I read 13.2.4, which to me meant when I was buying in Governors, I was relying on Sussex County's statement in its plan that it would implement interconnectivity safely. The only change that the developer has proposed since the county council denied its proposal really is the elevated walkway and a little bit of street narrowing. They're acknowledging that this would be through traffic. We're talking about a half-mile route. It is possible that that elevated walkway and narrowing of the street at one point might slow traffic at that one point. But unlike Mr. Hutt, I don't believe that our internal speed limit signs are going to stop anyone from speeding through our development. If Townsend really wanted to comply with the date requirement, it could readily do so. It just doesn't want to. And I've heard talk about, you know, in its submission, it talks about the difficulty that would arise from the FOBs. I want to remind everyone here, Governors did not ask for the FOBs. At the council meeting that dealt with this matter last year, it was the county council that raised the issue of FOBs. And when someone's given you more than you want to ask for, you generally don't turn them down. I'll turn them down now. If FOBs are an issue, if FOBs are a problem, take the FOBs away. Take away Mr. Hutt's objection. We don't want the FOBs. Certainly my wife and I don't want FOBs. We want our children and grandchildren to be safe and our neighbors. So in summary, to me, that the proposed conditional use would provide interconnectivity, but it would provide dangerous interconnectivity. That's not what the plan calls for. The plan calls for, in 13.2.4, eliminating the problems that interconnectivity could present. Nothing in the staff review, or really in Townsend's proposal, effectively deals with the safety issue from the through traffic that will come. And a final point, there are other reasons that this could be objected besides safety. The safety from interconnectivity itself. One of my colleagues will get into more about whether the roads as designed by Townsend really are adequate. If there were to be, there are unrestricted interconnectivity. And the other factor is these are private roads that Governors pays to maintain. When this went before the county council last year, Councilman Riley raised on his own the point that it is not fair, and I'll add, maybe it's not legal either, to basically take a private road and transform it into a public road, and then say, Governors, all this extra traffic is wearing out your roads, but we want you to pay for it. I think for all those reasons, the commission should not approve, which its recommendation to the council should be, that the conditional use should not be approved. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I think we're good. You had a question?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, as the comprehensive plan has been quoted, and 13.2.4 is the correct section, but for the purposes of the minutes, to make sure that there is no misinterpretation of what that says, if with your permission, I'd like to read the final paragraph of that section.
Okay.
The preceding paragraphs do talk about interconnectivity being an important aspect to enhance mobility and evacuation efficiency. The final paragraph, it says that there are a few perceived disadvantages relating to increased interconnectivity, such as increasing through traffic on residential streets. However, there are ways to plan and design connector roads better to avoid or minimize through traffic impacts on residential streets. The focus needs to shift on encouraging subdivision design that can provide a balanced mix of residential seclusion and local connectivity while maintaining commercial viability of the subdivision.
Thank you. Mr. Whitehouse, could you please repeat that question about minimizing the adverse effects?
No, we're not going to repeat anything. We're going to stop right there. And I'll just leave you with this. You know, quoting the code is a lot like quoting the Bible. For everyone you can quote, somebody else can quote another one. So now, thank you for your testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all been at this about 3 hours. The commission needs to take about a 5-minute break. So we're going to take a 5-minute recess, okay? Thank you. We'll be back in 5 minutes.